Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here on WJBM, the voice of the Tri-Counties. With me today is Jesse Fall, deputy for the Jerseyville Sheriff Department and an Iraq War veteran. How you doing today, Jesse?
Good, good.
How long you been working for the Jerseyville Sheriff Department?
I've been with Jersey County since 2019. Been working on the street since 2015, just part-time for different smaller agencies in Greene County.
And where are you from originally?
I was born and raised around Carrollton.
And who are your parents?
Bernadette and Jeff Fall.
And what do they do?
My dad's retired from the state. He worked for IDOT. And my mom's just kind of a jack of all trades. She's got a iron in the fire for almost everything. She just doesn't know how to quit.
When did you join the military?
I joined in 2006. I was enlisted from 2006 to 2010.
Okay, and how old were you when you joined?
I was 20.
20?
Yep.
So coming out of high school, what made you want to join the military?
I've always wanted to be in law enforcement. Started the college path. Realized that I still did not like college or schoolwork right out of high school. So went and sat talked to a recruiter, and of course he told me that he would have me carrying a gun and writing tickets within 6 months. So. Thought I'd give it a shot.
Sounds like a pretty good deal there, especially, yeah. That's what you want to do.
Yeah.
What branch did you go into?
I was in the Air Force.
Air Force, okay. And can you tell us a little bit about your basic training?
Basic training wasn't, the Air Force is kind of the joke of most of the branches. It wasn't very difficult, I'll give you that.
Okay.
But nonetheless, we were San Antonio, Texas in the summertime. It was hot. That was probably about the biggest complaint.
Hot. That's a common complaint.
Yeah.
What was the worst thing in basic training?
It's probably the gas chamber.
The gas chamber.
Yep.
What's that?
Go into a little bitty room, you're wearing full chemical gear, and they start popping some cans of CS, and you have to take your mask off and tell them who you are and where you're from and make sure you get a good deep breath of it in just so you know what it feels like.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't sound like much fun at all. And what is CS just for?
Basically tear gas. Makes it hard to breathe. Makes your eyes water, nose run, that type of thing. Essentially just makes it really hard to breathe.
Okay. Yeah. That doesn't sound like any fun at all.
No.
And I get, okay, worst time at basic training was, what was the best time?
Probably just towards the end, just getting a little more freedoms, getting treated more so like an adult instead of, some young kid that was coming in because they finally realize, or, their training's working so they can see you moving, you're progressing the way that they want you to.
Become a little more relaxed with you.
Yeah. Yep.
I gotcha. So, after basic training, then what?
I moved. I picked all my stuff up and moved literally two blocks down to security forces training. And we did that for 13 weeks. Still on the same base.
Can you tell us just kind of generalize security force training? Just kind of what you went through?
In a nutshell, you learn security. How to run security for nuclear operations. You learn how to do basically actual law enforcement work. You learn how to do traffic stops. You learn how to handle domestics. You also learn a little bit of the combat aspect of it, getting to fire heavy weapons, using grenades, stuff like that.
Cool.
A little bit of everything. Security forces used to be separated into security and law enforcement, and I don't know what year it was, but they basically just combined it all to where they trained you how to do all of it.
Security forces and law enforcement. So what was the difference between them originally?
Originally, it was strictly just that. I mean, the security side of things, they handled like your gate guards, protecting aircraft, protecting nuclear facilities, and then your law enforcement was just that. They strictly did. They patrolled the streets. They handled domestics. They wrote tickets. Basically what a cop does out here is what they were doing, but they were separate at the time.
After security forces training, then what?
Wichita, Kansas.
Wichita, Kansas.
Yep.
What was going on in Wichita?
McConnell Air Force Base. If you wanted a very small town feel, McConnell Air Force Base was it. It was a very small base. a lot of branches, and even in the Air Force, typically every 2 to 4 years, they're moving you around somewhere. And we had guys at McConnell that were there for years and years. It was just, they joked that it was a black hole, but if you, it was one of those bases that if you didn't want to leave, you probably weren't going to.
Huh, really?
So they just, I mean, it was, like I said, very small town atmosphere. Almost everybody knew everybody, that type of thing.
How small? As small as Jerseyville?
On-base housing included, it was probably smaller than Jerseyville.
Okay, fair enough. Huh. And gosh, with an Air Force base in Wichita, Kansas, smack dab in the middle of the U.S., couldn't see there being a whole lot of action there.
No, there wasn't. I think your highlight of a weekend was maybe having a drunk driver that took a wrong turn trying to get on the base thinking he was downtown.
Yeah.
That was about the extent of it.
As crazy as it got. So how long were you in Wichita?
It was probably 3.5 years.
3.5 years.
Yeah. So from the time I got out of basic and tech school until the time I separated. So it was about 3.5 years.
Gotcha. Okay. So fair to say, not a whole lot of action there. Just kind of skill building.
Yep. Just your typical, I mean, domestics and stuff like that. I was fortunate enough to be invited to go on to the emergency services team for the base, which is essentially, it's their SWAT team.
Okay.
So in case you did have something major happen on base, we had a response team for that. So that was a pretty neat experience. Got to go down to Sumner County, Kansas, and do a basic SWAT course for those guys.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. What, SWAT training, that's pretty interesting. What could you tell us anything about SWAT training?
Getting better at your room clearing, learning how to handle hostage situations, any types of disasters that may happen on a flight line to where you have to set up a cordon, and evacuate people, things like that.
Set up a cordon.
Basically, I mean, if you have something like a spill or something like that of some type of chemical that's toxic. I mean, you got an area that you need to cordon off, and you need to get everybody out of that area.
Oh, I gotcha.
We would help facilitate that.
Oh, cool. So after Wichita, you went on your trying to the timeline here. So
I got to Wichita. I'm wanting to say August, September-ish of 06, okay. And then I believe it was 07, the beginning of 07, I left for Iraq the first time. Went to Camp Buka.
Camp Buka, all right.
Camp Buka is it's a large detainment center for detainees, essentially prisoners, anybody that was awaiting trial, or we had a wide range of people that were either suspected of being behind 9/11, all the way down to just local people that violated curfew that was in place. So basically investigating them, figuring out why they were out and about after curfew and what they were doing, to ensure that there wasn't any terrorist connections.
Yeah, no, man, I feel like detaining terrorists, they must have been, violent, characters. Did you have any problems with just
some of them were, our compounds were split up basically into, we had 40 separate compounds within one. And each compound had 1,000 guys. So, and some compounds were considered them red, yellow, and green. Red were your violent ones. They were the ones that didn't want to get along and go along with the program. I was fortunate enough that I was in a green one. So, wasn't a whole lot of rioting. Every once in a while, you'd have some people maybe try to do a little protest, and they wouldn't eat or, you know, something like that. Nothing too crazy. But for the red compounds, it was nothing for them guys to tear up a compound, you know, weekly.
Oh, man. That's great. So it was just like an everyday fight with those guys? Yeah,
sometimes it was. It was just nonstop, day after day after day.
Man, that's got to be exhausting. So with policing these, policing Iraqi individuals, any differences in culture-wise with the process there versus here?
A little bit. There's some things with them that go a long way. Just they're different they're different cultures. I think the first thing that comes to mind is a sign of disrespect for them is to show them the bottom of your feet.
Yeah.
And then another sign of disrespect is to use your right hand to do anything, whether it's a wave or anything like that. They use primarily use their left hand. It's either that or I've got to flip one of the two. But yeah, one of their using a certain hand over there. Like I said, I can't recall whether it was left or right, but it's a sign of disrespect.
So first tour in Iraq, any significant, anything crazy happened to you over there?
No, they were, they shot at us a few times with mortars. They weren't very good at it. But other than that, I mean, it was a pretty relaxed for being in a combat zone where you were being shot at. It was a pretty relaxed environment. And you got a base that's full of, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of cops. The Army was there, Marines, Coast Guard, Navy, but it was almost everybody there was a cop just to do the detainee side of things. Obviously, you still have medical personnel and things like that, but the majority of us over there were cops.
Hey, if you're just tuning in, I am interviewing Iraq war veteran and deputy of the Jersey County Sheriff's Department, Jesse Fall. Would you say there's a culture difference between your typical military personnel versus military cops?
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, it's probably similar to the civilian world.
Yeah,
some people they don't like you just because you're a cop.
Oh shoot, man!
I mean, it doesn't mean that you've done anything to them. They could have had a bad experience somewhere along the lines, but there are some people that just don't like you just because you're a cop.
Wow, even in the military, whenever you're already following all those rules.
Yep.
Huh, that's crazy. So, first tour. How long was your first tour?
It ended up being right at 7 months, I believe. It was supposed to be six and a little bit of a delay here and there. And then you combine that with your training that you're gone. So, 6 or 8 months, something like that.
Gotcha. So, after your first tour, how long did you spend at home for?
I'm wanting to say I came back in late 07.
Okay.
And I think we left again in late 08. So maybe a little over a year.
Okay.
Or just shy of it, one of the two.
So for your second tour, where were you stationed at?
Joint Base Balad, which is just a little north of Baghdad.
Gotcha.
It was basically a giant transit base to where you had Army, Air Force, Marines. All the branches were there. That's where a lot of your supplies came into. And then from there, the supplies would get trickled out to the smaller bases. They called them FOBs, Forward Operating Base. The supplies would go there, and you had guys that were leaving the FOBs and getting ready to go home, so they would come to Joint Base Balad before they caught a plane to Kuwait or back to the States. So a lot of traffic in and out of that base, and not too many people there for very long at a time.
Yeah.
Unless you were actually stationed there, so.
Just a big hub.
Yep.
Gotcha. And how was it working in such a high traffic? I feel like that would put a lot of pressure on, police in general.
If you had, if you were trying to work a serious case of, an assault or something like that, you had some more hoops to jump through just because if that person, if they were suspected of committing an assault or something like that, and they were in the process of transient in or out, certain people had to be notified that, hey, this is going on and this person can't go now. They're not free to leave the base. They can't go back home yet, or they can't go to their forward operating base yet until the investigation's done. And, so a little more logistics goes into it whenever you're trying to figure out if that person's actually stationed at Joint Base Balad or they're on their way in or on their way out type of thing.
So how long did you end up being there at the base?
Joint Base Balad was probably right at 7 or 8 months.
Okay.
Typically the Air Force runs on a typical rotation, it's 6 months. And when deployments were heavy, they were typically, you were 6 months home, 6 months gone, 6 months home, 6 months gone, as to where a lot of the other Army and those guys were sometimes 12 months an 18 months gone and then another 12 or 18 months home. But, you know, you got to also consider in there that 6 months that you're home, you're usually prepping for another month's worth of training before you're going back. So yeah, I was over there for about 8 months, 6 or 8 months, something like that.
Okay. So for your second deployment, obviously, you know, that was your second and last deployment. Mm-hmm. Were you just kind of like just, you got what you needed from the military and you just wanted to move into the civilian sector?
Yeah, it was that. And I mean, it causes problems at home when you're gone that much.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So it puts a lot of stress on your family that's, you know, not deployed with you, obviously. So, you know, you got a wife and kids at home that are, you know, doing life without you. And then,
right,
you know, you're gone for those 6 months and then you got the stress of coming home of, you know, trying to reacclimate back to the way things need to be. And
back in the flow of things.
Yep, turning your mindset off and things like that. But yeah, for me, it was getting to the breaking point to where, you know, something had to give, so.
Better, yeah. I mean, best thing to be, just be home with your family.
Yep.
When did you get back here? What year?
I came back in May of 2010.
May of 2010.
That's when I came back to this area.
And then you started working in law enforcement around here in Greene County, you said?
Yeah, so I started in 2011. I actually started with the state of Illinois for the Department of Corrections.
Okay.
I did that for 8.5 years. I knew it's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to be on the street. So in 2015, I got picked up by a small agency in Greene County, and they sent me through the part-time police academy. I started doing work for them and several other small agencies in Greene County until 2019. And then that's when I got the opportunity to come down here in Jersey, and I left the prison full time and came down here to work full time in 2019.
Cool. And what made working in Jersey so appealing versus Greene County? Just increase in population?
Increase in population. There's a little more going on down here. Don't get me wrong. Every agency has their own, you know, some nights are crazy and some nights are slow. For me, it was also the fact that I, for the most part, the people that I deal with, I don't know them. You know, working in Greene County can be a little more challenging whenever you were born and raised around all these people. You know them, you know who they are, you know their families, their moms, their brothers and sisters and dads. And
hard to be objective.
So, yeah, so it's, you know, I think it makes it a little easier to do your job whenever you don't know the individual.
That makes sense. Now, any differences between working in police in the military versus working police for civilians?
I think right out of the gate, the biggest difference would be, so if you were in the military and you decided that you were going to go off base and get yourself into some trouble, obviously you can get in trouble on the civilian side of things with the local law enforcement. And then you also run the risk of getting in trouble when you get back to the base through your command staff. So potentially getting in trouble twice for the same thing. That and probably the level of treatment. So, you know, if you were dealing with a guy on base or a girl on base and they wanted to give you attitude and they weren't wanting to do what you want them to, you know, that type of thing, and just not being cooperative. Your command staff always had the opportunity to put in a phone call to their command staff and say, hey, this is how this person's acting. And they could get in trouble just for their attitude.
Oh, wow. So,
that was a big thing that kind of helped keep people in check in the military as far as, okay, well, you know, just be polite and respectful. And I don't want to get in trouble for my command staff for telling this guy what I think.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Yeah.
As opposed to on the street here, you know, you got freedom of speech, so they can, for the most part, tell you anything they want to tell you.
Yeah. I don't really get that sometimes when people want to get, you know, lippy with them. Like, I don't see you're helping your case.
It's generally not, but.
But, you know.
To each their own.
Freedom of speech, I guess.
That's it.
Now, how do you think, you know, working as police in the military, do you think that's given you an advantage or an edge working as in the local police department?
I think it helps give you a little more attention to detail. Now, you know, some police academy or most police academies, they still run it like a basic training. So they're still trying to instill that, you know, the attention to detail type of thing.
A military mindset. Yeah.
But the military, you've got it nonstop.
Right. Hard to replicate that.
You get it through basic training, you get it through your tech school, and you're still getting it during, you know, your active duty time. From inspections and different things like that. So you still have that attention to detail. I feel like it also helps you, like for me on the street, when you're dealing with certain calls and you know, if you're going to an individual's house and you've been there before or know about that person and their prior military, you know, other things to consider, you know, they're probably got some combat training, probably have the capability of, you know, setting up some traps if they want to, depending on who you're dealing with, that type of thing. So, I think it plays a little bit of a factor and actually aids you a little bit.
Keeps you safer.
Gives you a little help. Yep.
Yeah.
A little heightened awareness.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That awareness, you say.
Yep.
Now, is that's just a matter of just looking at the whole picture and just soaking it all in. And
yep. I think rolling up to a call, no matter what it is, and just taking those extra 10 or 20 seconds when you get out of your vehicle to stop and look and listen and, you know, just kind of take it all in and figure out what's going on, as opposed to your typical just shut your squad car door and walk up to the house like it's just another call.
You think there's an issue with, like, complacency with law enforcement, you know, just you're in a safe community?
I do, especially in your smaller agencies tend to sink back into the mindset of exactly that. It's a small community. It's not going to happen around here until it does.
Right. Right.
And unfortunately, sometimes it takes a pretty significant event to kind of rock us back in our shoes a little bit and realize that, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It can happen around here. And the bad thing is the complacency creeps back up. And usually within 6 or 8 months, you're back to
being
same old mundane complacency again.
Yeah.
It's definitely a problem.
Okay. I guess any mindset or idea to kind of keep you from slipping into that complacency?
Just trying to remind yourself that, you know, just because you're in a small community doesn't mean that bad things can't happen, and they have happened around here before. So,
Yeah.
For me, it's just that constant reminder of, okay, getting in the right mindset before you get to this call.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Jesse, I think that's all the time we have today.
Yeah,
but
perfect.
Thank you for your service, and thanks for coming in.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah.